I had a sermon planned up until just a couple days ago where I just completely had to change everything. God really spoke to me, kind of last minute, and it's about trust and trusting God. You know, our country is going to see changes. And whether you like them or not, it all depends on where you are putting your trust. And so the name of my sermon is going to be In God We Trust. I know, I thought of that myself. I'm going to kind of get started here with a little brief example to kind of get your mind in the right setting here based on what we discuss here today. It's a little story, and it goes something like this. A drought threatened the crops of a city in the Midwest, much like South Dakota. The people were worried, you know, their crops are dying because it's so dry. And the pastor of this town, this city, said, "There isn't anything that will save us except for a prayer to God for rain. So go to your homes, pray all week. I want you to fast all week, and I want you to trust in God. And then come back on Sunday, and we'll have a prayer for rain." So the congregation listened to the pastor. They fasted during the week and went to church the next Sunday morning. But as soon as the pastor saw them, he was furious. They walked in the door, and instantly he was upset. He said, "Go away. I will not pray this prayer for rain. You obviously do not trust in God." And the congregation looked at each other and like, "What's up with Pastor? Did he get kicked off a horse?" And they were like, "We did pray. You know, we did fast. We do trust in God." And the pastor looked at them and he said, "Trust? Then where's your umbrellas?" Oh. Yeah. You know, because the rain and the umbrella. Okay. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Proverbs 3. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 8. And that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Do you ever feel like life's not going your way? Like every day is just kind of the same old thing? You know, maybe you're a new Christian and you still haven't seen changes, or maybe you've been a Christian and nothing seems to be going the way you want it even still. Or are things going your way where you have what you want, but you're left with just kind of, not as satisfied as you thought you would be? You know, we can, or do you just completely rely on yourself to get what needs to be done in your life? You know, we say things like, "Well, I know what's best for me. I can do it myself. I'm my own person. I have complete control over my life. My destiny is mine." That should almost be the motto of the United States. And that's sad. They say it's all about you and what you want, and you can do it for yourself. But the question is, who or what are we putting our trust in? And we need to trust God instead of others, or instead of ourselves, mainly. Now, we need to discuss what the definition of trust is. And trust is confidence or reliance on a person or a quality of something. It's a dependence on something in the future. You depend on something to happen. You trust that it will happen. For example, you make a deposit in the bank, and you trust that the money will be available the next day, or that you'll have a job by tomorrow. You trust that the restaurant cooked your food properly, hopefully. And then you trust that you won't get a speeding ticket if only the officer doesn't notice you. So, I mean, there's all kinds of ways to look at trust here, but how does trust in God, what does that look like? Many people think that trust in God is obeying him or having faith. But there is a difference. That's why there's different words. Many people think that trusting God is blindly obeying whatever it is they're told. They think, "Well, I trust God because I obey God." But that's not it. You can very easily obey something because you're told to, or you were raised to believe it. But that's not trust either. You can have faith in someone and their abilities, but not fully trust them to do what's best for you. So I have faith in many people here, you know, but there's a difference to say, "Well, do I trust them for my own well-being?" So It's important that we need to trust God over anyone and anything. And we're going to talk about what trusting means. And trusting God is having confidence, dependence, and reliance on Him to do what's best for you. And He promises He'll do that, as we'll see. And I want you to remember as we talk here today that the lack of trust leads to doubt. And doubt undermines the whole point of what our faith means. I have faith in God, but do you trust God? You can't have one without the other. Now, this isn't to say that trust is going to come naturally. Trust is something that takes time. And the same applies to God. So I don't want to freak you out here by saying you need to trust wholeheartedly today. But it's a good starting point. So, how much do we give to God in trust? Do we trust Him with certain situations in life, or do we trust Him with the really, really big things, like if my arm's going to fall off, I'm going to start praying like crazy. But it also applies to every aspect of your life. You need to trust God with your lives, and you need to trust God with the lives of others, because He knows what He's doing. Now, the first part of verse 5 there says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And there's two examples I want to quickly go through here. And the first one is the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I'm sure most of you are all familiar with that story. Now, Abraham was a man of faith. He knew God inside and out. God, he walked in faith. He was the epitome. He's the role model of what faith ought to look like. He left everything that he owned and traveled from place to place just because God said He was going to lay the foundation for an entire nation. And that nation soon came to be Israel. Now, Abraham and his wife Sarah have been praying for so long to have a son. And at about 100 years old, they both finally got Isaac. And that's just weird to think about. But they finally got Isaac, their only son. They looked at Isaac and they're like, finally, our prayers have been answered. God has given us the desires of our heart. He's right here. His name's Isaac. And one day God calls upon Abraham and says, I want Isaac back. And what do you think Abraham must have been feeling or thinking? Quite honestly, I'd be really upset. I'd be confused. I wouldn't know what to think of God. I would almost maybe even question God. That's a trap we can fall into. But God said, you know, the Lord gives and He takes away. And in this case, He said, I want Isaac back now. So, Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac to God as an offering of faith. And right before Abraham did it, and he did do it, even though he may not have wanted to, he trusted God. Just as he was about ready to do it, God told him to stop. He said, don't do it. Don't even touch the boy. And in a way, you could say God was saying, you've passed the test. And this was a test of trust. And that is different than faith. This is different than obeying. This is something that happens internally. You know, trust is something you can't show. Trust, I mean, in ways you can, but trust starts in here. You know, you have faith. Well, you have to ask yourself, do you have trust in your faith? And Abraham here did. And God tested Abraham. So with this, God wants to know if we're in or if we're out. God wants to know if we are on His side. We can't be on both sides of the fence or God's going to boot us. So God wanted to know if Abraham was in or out. And God would never ask us to do anything that we couldn't handle or manage. And obviously with Abraham, He could handle this because He went through with it. Now God tested Abraham to strengthen him, not to harm him, not to tease him. So when life seems to be kind of cluttered or chaotic or not going the way you want, I challenge you to take a step back and see how God might use the situation. Now, there's a verse here in Isaiah 26:3 that says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Now, that's a loaded verse. You could talk about this verse for a long time. But what this verse is saying is, if you can trust God, even with just a little bit of trust, if you can give Him something of yourself, to believe that He can do what He says, He will give you 100 times back what that is. And an example of that is that nation Abraham was going to found called Israel. They're the only nation that still exists today. They're the oldest, long-lasting nation. God promised, I will bless your descendants. And today, political leaders still talk about a country of Israel. And to me, that's God upholding his promise. And that's been about, I would say, over 4,000-6,000 years. So God will never break his promise. The other example here, more contemporary, is in the New Testament anyway. It's the Apostle Paul. Now, most of the New Testament is a testament to Paul's trust in God. This was a guy who killed Christians for a living. This was a guy who killed the first Christian. The first Christian martyr was at the hands of Paul. And he trusted in his own understanding what was right. He didn't understand Jesus because he didn't want to understand Jesus, and it led him to do despicable things. Things that he regretted, as we read throughout most of the letters he wrote. But God kind of slapped Paul in the face, blinded him for a few days, and said, you're going to follow me whether you like it or not. And so what did God do? God picked the least expected person to do one of the greatest things. Paul founded the early churches that soon spread all over the world. So if you're looking for where the church was planted, it was planted anywhere Paul went. And God used such a man to do this type of work. And the same can be said for us in our day. You know, God can use us to do anything he wants, but he needs us to trust in him or else nothing can be done. So if you're sitting idly along in your life wondering what's happening, well, maybe you're not trusting in God enough or at all. The second part of verse 6 says, the last part of verse 5 says, rely not on your own understanding. And right away when I heard that, I thought of the Apostle Peter when he was walking on the water with Jesus. This is a perfect painted example of what relying on your own understanding will do to you in many ways. Now, this is a story of what trusting God looks like and not on our own understanding. The disciples are in a boat, and they look out, and then they see a ghostly figure, and they freak out a little bit, you know. And the first words that Jesus says is, it's all right, it's me, I'm right here, do not be afraid. And the disciples kind of dumbfounded, you know, kind of like a bunch of apes scratching their heads, not knowing what's happening. Jesus asked Peter to come out to him. And Peter, once he realizes it's Jesus, gets excited, jumps overboard, and he doesn't sink. He's walking on water. And just as he looks down, he realizes, well, I'm on water, I'm going to sink. That's what I understand. And what happens? He starts sinking. And I doubt he could swim. And so Jesus had to save Peter. And this is the same guy that denied Jesus 3 times even later. So, I mean, that just confuses me. I really get frustrated when I talk about that. So we won't go there. But this is a perfect example. Once we think we know what's supposed to happen, we're going to fall. And God is not going to superimpose himself in our lives, or else where would the faith be? So God... it's not up, you know, God will never do that. So if you're wondering, where is God? Maybe the question should be, well, where is you? God's waiting there for you. He says, it's okay, don't be afraid, I'm here, walk out to me. Now, we need to start asking, how do these various stories kind of apply to us today? We don't see God walking on water. We don't see God in all different forms. But we have been given something that those people that we read about never had, and that's the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, he gave himself in a new way to us. And it's something we need to take advantage of. Sometimes we forget he's even there. But you need to ask yourself first, do you put your trust in the government? You know, I work at the bank, and I get all kinds of calls, and I'm supposed to talk to these people like I'm actually interested in their stories. But the topic that we've talked about the most, or they bring up, is, well, who do you think is going to be the next president? And I'm like, well, we'll just have to see. I don't ever give them an answer. But what I've noticed with a lot of people is like, well, if Obama wins or if McCain wins, our country is doomed. We're all screwed. We are in trouble. And it's like they put their full trust in who the next president will be. And if you do that, you deny God what he can do. God is above the government. God puts people in charge. We are to pray for those people as if God put them in charge for a reason. But people tend to lean towards someone they can see. If you saw the election, look at all the people that flocked to Obama's election speech. And one reporter said, I bet over half of these people don't know anything about this guy. Because he really is someone who just came out of nowhere. And look what kind of following he's gathered already. Imagine what would happen if you put just some bit of trust towards God. Amazing things can happen. Now, do you trust your own understanding? Do you think you know all the answers? Just because you have a diploma, just because you have a great job, doesn't mean that you know everything. God will make sure that he shows you certain things that you didn't understand before, but he'll often do it in hard ways. Do you put your trust in other people? You know, we all have friends, we all have colleagues. Do we put our trust in other people to do what God's meant to do? You know, and a verse that came to my mind when I was writing this was Galatians 2:16, which says, no one will ever be saved by obeying the law. To me, it doesn't strictly apply to the law. This applies to everything. There is no one thing or one person that will ever save you. You cannot rely on money. You cannot rely on the government. You cannot rely on your friends. You cannot rely on mom and dad, or else you are going to waste away your life. No offense, mom and dad. My parents are here. Now, many Christians live their lives in a repetitious, kind of this vicious cycle. You know, it goes round and round and round. They follow the Bible. They follow the guidelines. You know, they follow what they're supposed to be doing. But there's no trust in there. You know, it's easy to say, well, God will save me, but do you really trust that? And now many models of Christianity put on the right things. They even say the right things. You know, these models out there that put on these fancy clothes, they even have brains. So, but the question is whether or not they trust in what they believe. It's like a box of chocolates, which will be seen a lot in the holidays coming up in Christmas, where they all look great on the outside, but once you chew into it, your face turns green, and all these things happen. And that can be the same when it comes to Christianity. There's a lot of people out there who will do all of the right things where you are almost fooled into believing they trust in God with all their heart. But on the inside, it's a mess. It doesn't taste good. It's rotten. And that's where trust starts. You need to give a part of yourself to God in order for him to use you. Now, how do you put your trust into practice? And it is a practice. It's something that you need to learn to do. Like I said earlier, you can't just automatically build 100% trust with someone if you don't know them very well. And that's how it is with God. If you're just starting to go down that path to Christianity, just starting to talk to God, he wants to talk back to you. He wants to have kind of those coffee table dating sessions, you know, where you first start dating someone, you go have coffee. God wants to reveal little by little to you so you can build that trust. Now, putting your trust into practice starts with communication with God. And I've kind of come up with a 10-minute challenge that I'm going to issue to all of you. 10 minutes a day. That's it. If prayer is hard for you right now, if prayer is something you can't fit into your schedule, this is the challenge. A minimum of 10 minutes a day. Give 5 minutes to speak to God. Give 5 minutes for him to speak back. A lot of people rush through a prayer, say amen, and God's left there wondering, well, I didn't get to say one word to you. So that's my challenge. And I'll keep bringing it up until it's done. So 10 minutes a day. And then, like I said earlier, God lives within you in the Holy Spirit. So he'll let you know, hey, you haven't talked to me for a while. And that little feeling that you try to brush off, that's God. That one you feel kind of uncomfortable with is kind of God nudging his elbow at you a little bit. And to do this as a church, New Life, our goal is to bring Christians, to bring people to Christ. How can you bring someone to Christ if you don't even trust what you believe? So that is another challenge for you, is to start giving a little bit of trust to God when you think you can do this on your own. Trust God to do it for you, because that's what he wants. And then also, you know, part of our vision here is raising stars, as we read in Isaiah. God wants us to raise stars. You know, you need to trust in God to get you to that point. And if you try to do it yourself, you're going to keep falling off the ladder. You're just going to keep falling and falling. And that's why life sometimes seems so blah. Now, 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you do not see him, you trust him. And even now you are happy. What's going on here in 1 Peter is these Christians, these brand new Christians, are being persecuted. Not by violence, but they're being persecuted in the way that they're being ignored by society. That's to be expected. And it's a hard pill to swallow, but it's to be expected. If you want to follow God, you're going to have to give up the world. You need to trust God to do what's right for you, and he will. Now, an example is, can you see love or can you see the wind? We can't see the Holy Spirit, or maybe some of you have, but talk to someone about that. But it's the same principle with God. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you know he's there. You know he's God. He tells you. You can't see love, you can't see the wind, but you see all of the effects of it. Now, last example I have here, and then we'll wrap it up, is a father and a son in a swimming pool. And I have recollections of this in my lifetime, is where your dad stands in the deep end of the pool and he asks you to jump in. And he says, everything will be okay, just jump. And you sit there and you whine about it and you're scared. But once you do it, you're the happiest little kid around. That's what God is wanting from you. He's saying, take the dive. You know, I'm here, I will catch you. Something else you need to remember is that God will not expect you to have a diploma or some vast background of Christian upbringing to do what he wants. A little quote here is, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Hallelujah. So God's looking for people to use versus people who think they know it all already. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God will surely do this for you, for he always does just what he says. Trusting in God will produce changes in your life. It's different than having faith. It's different than simply obeying. If you trust God to do what he wants to do, he will do it. And the results are good for you. Look at Abraham. He almost had to give up his son. But instead of doing that, God blessed him. And look, even today, that blessing still is in effect. You'll be joyful. You'll have a peace of mind. You don't have to carry weights. You won't have to carry burdens on your shoulders. If you just give them to God, he will figure them out. He will be the counselor for you. He will tell you what needs to be done instead of you figuring it out for yourself. We need to trust God. And it starts right here rather than in the actions and the words. We need to trust God. And I'm going to leave you with a verse here, and it's Hebrews 10:23. Very small, very simple, but it's one verse I want you to carry with you for this week. And it says, God can be trusted to keep his promise. And this is what the Bible's for. It's to tell us what God has already done and what he promises to do for everyone else. So if this is something that you've struggled with, or if this is something that you're not sure about, or if you're scared to take that leap, I challenge you to jump into God's arms. I challenge you to experience what He has in store for you. Some people wait their whole lives standing on the side of the pool while the Father's in the pool saying, come on, come on, come on. But some people say, no, that's okay. And you don't know what you're missing out on. So in just a moment here, I'm going to have a prayer for all of you. And I want you to follow along with me. And if it's time for you to make that commitment or recommit to God, saying, Lord, I will trust you. You know, I'm not going to worry about these bills. I'm not going to worry about this relationship. I'm not going to worry about this friend or this job. God's going to amaze you. I guarantee it. He will not break His promises.